3 weeks from today, Democratic primary voters go to the polls in the 7th Congressional District for what some say is a race for the soul of the Democratic Party. Voters will choose between incumbent Congressman Michael Capuano or his challenger, Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley. The two candidates have met face-to-face twice so far during this campaign, including right here on Radio Boston last week for a debate. Each time, the focus of the candidates has turned to leadership style and perspective and experience and not so much on policy differences. But both candidates have highlighted what they consider some of their major accomplishments as politicians. So today we want to take a closer look at one accomplishment from each candidate. For Pressley, she says it's liquor license reform and equity in Boston. For Congressman Capuano, he cites improvements to the Fairmount commuter rail line. Well, joining us to take this closer look at the candidates' records is Megan Irons. She's a Boston Globe social justice and race reporter. Megan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So let's start with liquor license reform. This was from Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley, and she highlighted her work during last week's WBUR Boston Globe UMass Boston debate. Let's listen to a little bit of what she said.
I worked for some 4 years to reform our state's liquor license laws, working with the city council, two mayors, and our state legislature to disrupt what was a two-tiered food system, resulting in a density of walkable amenities and restaurants in neighborhoods like the North End, the Back Bay, and the South End, and neighborhoods like Roxbury, Mattapan, and Dorchester and Hyde Park, which did not have new restaurants for 10, 15, 20 years.
So, Megan, just very briefly, because I know this is a long storied history here, but briefly, this history of liquor license reform. What happened here in terms of Ayanna Pressley's history with it?
So Ayanna Pressley has been a champion in terms of leading this effort on liquor license reform. She was there from the beginning, successfully getting liquor license reform in the state. And what this law did was to give Boston the authority to give out 75 additional licenses over a 3-year period. And the goal here was to revive the business districts in neighborhoods that have been that are not like Back Bay or the North End or downtown. These are neighborhoods that are struggling for some sort of economic vitality. And she argued, along with the mayor and along with other people, successfully that these neighborhoods could benefit from restaurants that brought in people and their families, not only for dinner, but for a cocktail or two. And so this law came about in 2014. It had very, very good intentions for the Main Street and business districts. It wanted to chip away the unfairness in how the liquor licenses had been traditionally doled out. Mostly it's to big business owners. It is to big restaurants and to people with deep pockets. And many people who did not have access to a liquor license were often left out of this thriving industry.
So basically, Councilor Pressley had all the best intentions here to try to sort of spread the wealth, if you will, among some of the more underserved communities to make sure that they also got liquor licenses. And what ended up happening was the licenses actually went to the big players and didn't actually do what was intended. Is that right?
In fact, yes, you're totally right. In fact, it created this unintentional problem. Okay, it created uneven competition. It left out certain neighborhoods. It allowed businesses that were already established to get the licenses. The licenses were intended to be easily attainable. You just have to show where you're going to operate. You have to provide a lease and pay $3,000. In the past, in the unregulated market, the licenses were costing upwards of $300,000. But it turned out that only people with establishments and only people with money, restaurant owners that is, were able to afford them. And so there were some business movement in Roxbury. Not one in Mattapan, not one applicant in Mattapan.
But it was $3,000. This is what Councilor Pressley put into effect, that it would lower the cost to $3,000, and these folks were supposed to have access.
Right. $3,000 would be accessible, the thinking was. I mean, I want to say also that the city and the mayor really pushed this effort as well. Councillor Presley was a driver, of course. But yes, the idea was that it was accessible in terms of cost and affordable in terms of cost. But it did leave out a lot of people. Now, last year, the city, along with Presley, pressed to get an additional 150 or so licenses, nothing has, there's no action on that as yet.
Okay, so let's move on to Congressman Capuano and the Fairmont Commuter Rail Line. This is the only commuter rail route that goes entirely within Boston, serving Mattapan, Hyde Park, Dorchester. And he says in his 10 terms as congressman, he's championed a number of transit projects. So during our debate last week with Congressman Capuano and Ayanna Presley, Capuano defended his work. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
The Fairmont Line was a long-term investment, working with Governor Patrick at the time, because if people remember, there were only a few stops that were almost never used. We've now increased it by 6 stops. We've got better trains on the system. And let's not forget that the people running the commuter rail were taking trains out of service on this line to give to other lines. That has stopped.
So, Megan, I'm just wondering, in terms of this is a major accomplishment of Congressman Capuano, take us back to why he would cite this as such a big deal.
Well, for the people who are living in parts of Mattapan, Dorchester, Hyde Park, and Roxbury, they've been completely cut out of rapid rail service from their homes to their jobs downtown. And for years, many of these people have been living with a rail line behind their yards and had seen freight trains running behind their yards and a little used commuter rail line, the Fairmont Line. And a lot of effort and years of work went into getting the state to fix up this line to make it accessible for the people who needed fast services to downtown. And the activists from across that particular area of the city would tell you that Michael Capuano had been instrumental in securing federal funding to get the line not just sporadically operating, but a fully functional line. The Fairmont Commuter Rail Line is unique in that it's the only commuter rail line that operates totally in Boston. Most people would think of commuter rails as going out to the suburb, but this one operates entirely in Boston. There are problems with issues with pricing. It was too expensive, some people thought. And some people also thought that the state didn't do a very good job in terms of marketing this line. And Capuano has been in that fight. The activists say they needed someone who would be out there pushing this issue for them. There's so much hope on this line. And it struggled with ridership. And when that happened, I believe it was last year, Capuano gave $53,000 of his campaign money to pay for tickets so that people could take the line. It could increase ridership. And indeed, ridership did go up 55% after that first week, I think, and it has tripled since 2012. However, there's still problems with increasing ridership. The ridership on that particular line lags the other lines in the system. And so there's been a big effort from the activists to get the T to do things like allowing passengers to use their Charlie card on that line. This is a line that is trying, it's a commuter rail, but it's trying to be a subway. And it's trying to do a lot of things. There is also hope along the line that there would be development that would bloom as a result of the expansion and renovation of this line. However, residents are very concerned that whatever is erected around those stations, that it would also be detrimental to the renters.
They're worried about gentrification, right?
Yeah, worried about gentrification and all that and that kind of stuff.
So it sounds like both of these accomplishments that both politicians are citing may have started with good intentions, but didn't necessarily work out as planned. Why? Why do you think they're touting them as major accomplishments here? Is it because it's something very tangible that a lot of people can understand and look to, or is it touching on some broader theme here? You know, many folks, as we said in the beginning, have called this a race for the soul of the Democratic Party. Is that overstating it, or is this sort of what's going on?
No. I think, you know, listen, getting the rail line up and running is a major thing. It's a major thing for people who had to take three different buses to get to their jobs. Getting liquor license is a major thing, even though they didn't count on the fact that it would take a lot more for people who don't have the infrastructure or the asset or the money to come up with the $3,000 and don't, you know, and find a building and find a place to open a restaurant. So these are indeed major issues, even though they're not fully formed. You know, they still have a lot more work to do, and there's a long way to go. But I do think that the voters in this particular district, it's a very diverse district, are concerned, are interested in someone who's going to go to Congress, who's going to fight for them and fight the Trump administration and the policies that are coming forth from that administration. But they're also concerned about the values of this party, the Democratic Party, and the people that it represents. And these issues, though they're not national issues, they're very, very local and bread and butter issues. And I think Ayanna Pressley and Michael Capuano are very, very conscious of the fact that they are still rooted in this district. Both are from, he's from Somerville, she's from Dorchester, hard scrabble neighborhoods. These are issues that mean well and serve well for the people who live there. They're social justice issues, and they're about the quality of life. And I think they're very cognizant of those. And those are indeed accomplishments, even though there's still a lot more that needs to be done.
Okay, Megan Irons is the Boston Globe social justice and race reporter. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Stay with us. Coming up, why a Massachusetts delegation is traveling to Honduras and El Salvador. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.